That's what we want to say to you, our Father. Utterly faithful. All of your promises, yes and amen in Christ Jesus. For a motley crew like us, who've turned our back on you, we've been indifferent. There have been times when we were dead toward you and even hostile toward you, and you've kept your promises nevertheless. Great is your faithfulness. This will I call to mind and therefore have hope. Mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Receive our praise from glad hearts. We're glad you are great in this way. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. People already seek affirmation. We should help them seek it not for defective motivations or passing characteristics, like I sure like that little freckle you have or whatever. That isn't wrong. Again, I'm not down on commending looks. They're not abiding, and we should let's commend the most commendable stuff. But for God honoring motivations and Christ-like qualities, approval for right things, the things that are approved of God. God Himself commends things to us. Let's be on the lookout for those things and commend those who echo those things, who reflect those things, who image forth those things in the grace and in the strength that He supplies. There's a benediction. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you might do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight, through Christ, to whom belongs the glory forever. Okay, everything good. Everything good. He gives us good things, and all the good things that we get are from Him. All of them are from Him. And let's be on the lookout for the best of those things and commend those things when we see them. The rudimentary desire to be commended is not wrong. How many of you would like to be praised? Okay, after this seminar, your hands can go up freely without any twinge in your conscience thinking, I would hate to be praised. You should want to be praised. In fact, we should all desire to be praised by God Himself. There's something defective with a Christian who does not want to hear God at the end of his life say, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good, faithful. We just praised God for being faithful. He's going to praise us for being faithful. Blows my mind. If I'm faithful, it'll be a miracle. But it's going to happen. He who's begun a good work in this unfaithful heart is going to carry it on to its faithful completion to the day of Christ. And I'll praise Him for my faithfulness, because He was faithful to make that faithfulness happen. That's how it goes, you know. We do manifest Christ-like qualities, but we get them from somewhere. They're not in us intrinsically. Okay, so we should all desire to be praised by God Himself. 1 Corinthians 4 says, then each one will receive his commendation from God. That's what God is coming with in the end. He's coming with His commendations. Isn't that cool? He's also coming with a sword. Jesus is coming with a sword. He's coming with bowls, and He's coming with plagues, and it's going to be inconceivably, indescribable. I think John couldn't describe it because it's indescribable. It's going to be so bad at the end, and it's going to be so good at the end. Depends whether you're in Christ or not. He's going to come with commendations. You know, I'm going to pause here. I don't think this is in my notes. This is one of the things I think we can hold out to the people that we're counseling when they're stuck about confessing something. I think we should confess robustly for a couple of reasons. I mean, there's more than two, but two that help me get in the spirit of confessing my wrongs. One is, if I diminish the size of my sin by saying, well, everybody does it, and I wasn't feeling good that day, and it wasn't as bad as that other guy, and I shrink the size of my sin, I shrink the size of the saving. I shrink Jesus. But if I say, that was terrible, that was wicked, that was dark, that was evil, that came out of me, there's something caustic, there's something toxic in here, and He saves me from that, now I've got a great Savior. I'm more likely to worship big if I confess big, not because I enjoy the bigness of my sins. Let's not go there. We don't want to boast in, you know, what should we say then? Shall we, what's Romans 6? How's it start? Yeah. Yeah, shall we continue in sin? Yeah, let's sin all the more so we can show off. That's not what I'm saying here. I'm saying with Paul, God forbid. No, not that. But when the sin has happened, recognize it for how sinful it is. So that's one. Number two is, when I know, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive. That's what's coming? Forgiveness is coming after I do what? Confess. Do I want the forgiveness? So get on with the confession. So it makes it easier to confess when you know that's what you're going to get. You're going to get forgiveness from God. You're not going to get a big stick. You're not going to get a lecture. You're not going to get a I told you so. I mean, there may be lessons to learn and there may be consequences and you might have to do restitution and, you know, there are difficulties owing to our sin. But man, to know He is going to, He has promised He will forgive my sin. Wow. Well, then let's confess. And people in our offices, I think, sometimes are a little timid because if I confess this, then there'll be such a scandal and I won't be able to live it down. And don't live it down. He'll live it down for you. Okay, I digress. Let me get back to this. To not want to be loved by God and affirmed by God is to be faithless, to expect God to act like something other than God. Because commendations are what He wants to give. You say, well, I don't want Him to praise me. It means you don't want Him to be God. It's not wrong to desire to be noticed if, and I wish Lou Priolo was here so he could evaluate me on this. Maybe I'm over-tilting, over-swinging the pendulum on this. I don't think so. You can check me. It's not wrong to desire to be noticed if we're letting our light so shine that when people see our good works, they glorify our Father in heaven. I think that's what Jesus is saying. Go ahead and be noticed. If when they notice you, they go, wow, God. Then get noticed. Or, it's not wrong to desire to avoid someone's anger if you're not cowardly, but are courageously and faithfully leaving vengeance to the wrath of God. No, I don't. I should have looked up this text. Is this the one that says, Jesus, when reviled, did not revile in response, but He entrusted Himself to the one who judges justly? Is that the text here? Oh, 1 Peter? Wrong text. You need to get a different speaker next time, Jim. You have somebody who knows his Bible. So then what is this one? Vengeance is mine, saith the seminar attender. No. Yeah, it belongs to Him. And so, I don't want to go around picking fights, you know. Choose your battles. And, you know, just to go around and say, oh, I got some dirt on you, and I know something about you, and I've heard about you, and, I'll go around, I'm going to talk to everybody about their laundry. It's not my jurisdiction, for one thing. Not my place. And it may not be helpful, and it may be someone else's job. And it may be cowardly. Maybe I am supposed to talk to somebody about their problem, but leave vengeance to the wrath of God. I'm not going to them because I'm going to straighten them out. I'd like to straighten out some people, but I can't. My best arguments, my best appeals, Vicki will tell you, I worked with a guy in our church for years. Hours. Lengthy pages of documentation to try to help him see something that others found problematic, and he couldn't see it. To the best of my ability, tried to help, I think with pure motives. I'm sure they were contaminated in some way, but my conscience is clear. And at some point, it's fruitless energy and you drop it. So it's not wrong to desire to avoid someone's overreaction if it seems like it's not going somewhere, but cowardice shouldn't be the motivation. It is not wrong to desire to be well thought of if we are approved of God. God approves. You should want that. You should want to be well thought of. It is not wrong to desire to receive recognition. if we're recognized for having genuine faith, which is what's happening there in 1 Corinthians. People watch them behave, they see the pattern of their life, and that pattern is like, well, that is a commendable, that's a godly pattern. We should want to live that way, that's what is recognized about us. It's not wrong to desire to feel important if we recognize we're making an important difference as instruments in the Redeemer's hands. So we labor in the strength that He supplies. We're crucified, yet we live, but it's not us. It's Christ who lives in us. So we're dead, but we're alive. We do things, but He's doing it in us. Or as Paul said, I labored more than them all, but it was God who was at work in me, so God gets the credit. The one who does the work gets the credit, and He's the one doing the good work. It's not wrong to desire to be respected if we are respected for fulfilling our God-given office in God-given strength, which is what this text indicates. It is not wrong to desire to avoid conflict. A couple slides ago, we talked about avoiding anger. This is about conflict in general. If our peacemaking is not at the expense of principle, that is, anything to avoid conflict, and therefore you become spineless and namby-pamby, whatever words we should use there, that is not peacemaking. That's compromise. That's caving in. It's not wrong to desire to be looked up to if we are esteemed highly because of our work in the Lord, which is almost a verbatim quote from that text. Esteemed highly because of our work in the Lord. You should want that. Jim should want that. Craig should want that. You should want that, to be esteemed highly because of your work in the Lord. Why should they want to be esteemed lowly? Boy, Jim sure does pitiful work. There's lousy work around here. No, we should pursue excellence. And then God gets the honor because He's the one doing the work in us. It's not wrong to desire to have a good reputation. If our good name, which is better than great riches, according to Proverbs 22, anybody know? Good name is better than great riches? Nobody knows, then I'll say yes. It's Proverbs 22. I'm pretty sure that it's Proverbs. If our good name reflects the name, if our name is reflecting the image of Christ, it is not wrong to desire, come here, to enjoy friendship if friendship is first and foremost with God and all other relationships are for God. It is not wrong to enjoy your marriage or to enjoy your children or to enjoy your grandchildren or to enjoy the people in your small group, or to enjoy your pastor, for pastor to enjoy his people. Not wrong if all those relationships are for God's sake, for His honor. The apostle in the epistle said, I have no greater joy than knowing that my children are walking in the truth. So here his children are walking in the truth, and what's he get? Oh, that's contaminated. You shouldn't get joy. That's crazy talk. The Bible says you should want to get joy from them walking in the truth. And so a relationship you have that's fostering that, and you think, this is great, I like living this way, that's good. It's not wrong. It's not wrong to desire to be praised. That desire is perverted when it seeks to be praised for wrong things or to be elevated above the glory of God. So in the same text in which Jesus says, don't be like the hypocrites, they love to pray, making a show of it, to be seen of men, they have their reward. You, when you pray, shut the door. That secret good works doesn't mean never do any good works in public, because in the same context is where he says, you're the lights of the world. Let your light so shine. So let your light shine and do stuff in secret. What he's clarifying is the motive. What's the motive? Your church ought to be a beacon in your community, but not so your church can brag. So they see God, so that God is known in your community, so that the gospel gains a hearing in your community. Affirmations are one form of blessing, and to bless is our calling. So if any people wondered, is there a calling on my life? Yes, here it is. This is a calling on our lives. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called. And here's the boomerang or the law of the harvest again, that you may obtain a blessing. You give out blessings, they're going to come back. God makes sure that that happens sooner or later, at least in the last day. So there's a calling on our life to be a blessing, and affirmations are one form. Now, not all blessings are affirmations, but all affirmations are blessings. What I mean is, you meet somebody on the street, you give them $10, that's a blessing. But it doesn't affirm anything in them. It doesn't commend them for anything that they've done that's commendable, but it's still a blessing to them. All affirmations, if you commend somebody for something that they're doing, you know, my wife back there is very loyal to me. Very loyal. Loyalty is a high value with her. She is so loyal to me that if you don't know what to put on your evaluation forms about the speaker, she would help you fill out those forms. So there's a difference between affirmation and blessing. It's like if you had a Venn diagram, you have this big circle of blessings, and inside there's a circle called affirmations. Not all blessings are affirmations, but all affirmations are blessings. Affirmation is not the same as a blessing. As I just said, it's not the same as flattery. When a guy says to a young, pretty thing, "You're a young, pretty thing," it could be a blessing if it's the grandpa, maybe. But if it's a peer who is hoping, stated or otherwise, that I'd like to get some payback from this talk this way. And this is an explosive situation, as you know, because there are young women who would be happy to give themselves physically to someone who would say certain things to them. And there are young men who would be happy to say certain things to them in order to get certain physical blessings from them. That's just an explosive situation that's in our culture. And part of the vulnerability in the young women is if they're not getting the affirmations elsewhere, there's an appetite, there's a thirst there. Flattery is usually for ill-gotten gain. It's for payback. There's an incentive that's commercial and rather short-sighted in flattery. I want something from you. That's why I'm flattering you. Whereas an affirmation, you can give affirmations away to people you'll never meet again. You can affirm the checkout clerk at Target and you'll never see that person again. But you thank them for their service or their attention. They caught a mistake that was going through or whatever. They were cheerful. I think we ought to be that way, by the way. Christians ought to be that way in the checkout lines at stores. We should not be the cranky ones. Move on. It's not the same as building self-esteem. I think we hammered on that one this morning, okay? And it's not the same as encouragement. As we contrasted earlier today, affirmation looks back, sees what's been done, and says, "That was good. That was good." Encouragement says, "Hope you can do some more of that," or "Hope you can get through college well," or "Hope." There's a future thing to encouragement. So encouragement and affirmation are not the same. I'm talking about looking at what already is. You're looking at something that's already happened, behaviors that have already taken place, and commending those. You don't have to speculate about them. Encouragement is full of a lot of speculation, earthly, for us earthlings. We don't know what's going to happen in the future. I think you'll do a great job in college. I don't know, you might die in your sophomore year. I don't know. We don't know these things, do we? You who say tomorrow we're going to go to such and such a city and dwell there a year and buy and sell and get gain, rather you ought to say, "If the Lord wills, we'll go to such and such a city, live there a year, buy and sell and get gain." Don't you know your life is but a vapor? So our encouragements are maybe, maybe not. But affirmations, they're in the bank. It's already happened. So call it out and celebrate it. Affirming others, here are some benefits. Here are some reasons to do it in case you need some more. It earns you the right to make suggestions. All Christians have elevating standards. We're hopefully in sanctification, we're getting better. We're getting better. We're seeing more ways that we could pursue holiness and be like Jesus. Okay, and when that's happening in us, we look around at others and we see where it's missing. And it's easier to see where it's missing in them than see where it's missing in us. Those are the blind spots that we have. But we see it missing in them. And we want to make suggestions about how they might do a little better in this area or that area. Well, affirming in areas where they're doing well earns us ground on which to stand when we want to point out something that might need a little improvement in their life. And so that's one thing. We all have that happening if we're in Christ. The second thing is, among Christians, many of us, maybe all, are creative. We're all creative. We can see a better way to do things. Many of you are out there thinking, I can think of a better way this seminar could go. You know, he could have made those slides look nicer. He could have, you know, why did he dress that way? Why, you know, I mean, you're thinking of improvements. Creative people are that way. You think that way about your pastor's sermons. Don't you? He could have improved this. He could have changed that. He could have left that out. He could have shortened it up. He could have... Okay. And some of those suggestions are probably due. They're warranted. And it's time to give them. Well, they're more likely to be heard if we've been commending other things that are commendable. And that's what I'm saying. Your good suggestions that you want to make and probably need to be made in your context, they're needed. God has planted you there to make that suggestion. But they won't hear it from you if there hasn't been commendation on the things that are going well, reasonably well, well in some measure. So it earns you the right to make suggestions, and that's what I want for you. I want, one of the reasons, people ask, why'd you write this book? One of the reasons was, I've seen so many parents of young children who already are losing the ground on which to speak into their children's lives. Already. And I want those mothers and those dads to be able to speak into those children's lives. So commend this kid. There's a lot of good going on here because there's also a little jerk acting up here, and you need to talk to that. You need to get on that. And he's not going to hear it from you. And I want him to hear it from you, not from somebody else. And, okay, get off my soapbox. Affirming others gives energy to people. You're just easier to be around if you give commendations. People don't have to tiptoe around you. They don't have to walk on eggshells around you. They feel like, okay, this he adds to the environment rather than... It lifts morale. It has a contagious effect because things that you observe, others have the chance to say, you know, that's true. That's good. You know what? Pastor's sermon, wasn't that insightful the way he unpacked that text? And others can go, yes. And so others are drawn, they get on your train. They get on the boat. They move with you into becoming more of an affirming community than if you don't do it. It makes you easier to live with. How many of you would like to be easier to live with? How many of you would like your husband named Sam Crabtree to be easier to live with? Oh, she didn't raise her hand. And this is really, really valuable. I tell this to a lot of our staff. We have about 200 staff on our payroll at our church, and I tell lots of them when they handle something in a cheerful way, thank you for your cheerfulness. It doesn't have anything to do with the issue that they just handled. Thank you for the cheerful way in which you handle that cheerfulness. That is so valuable all over the place to everyone who walks through this office. Just your cheerfulness is a plus here. Thank you for being that way. And generally, they weren't thinking, okay, now I have to be cheerful. So, let's see, how would you be cheerful? Somebody give me a checklist on cheerful. And no, it's just, it's erupting from them in their personality expressed as the Spirit is emanating Christ through them. And nobody's offended when I stop and point that out in the office. Nobody says, oh, shut up. Would you quit? You're always talking about cheerfulness around here. Just keep ringing the same bell. It's just old. Nobody ever says that. It helps morale. Now, it can hinder, and it might come up in a question that we have down here in the first row, so we'll see during the Q&A if that question gets asked. It requires you to look at people positively. I could look at Wayne as a sociopath. For a sociopath, he is. And I could make that his label, and I could attach everything to that label. Everything he does, that's a sociopath doing that. Or I could think, here's a Wayne, here's a boy. He was a twin, by the way. Made in the image of God. He is made in the image of God. God, help me see it. I want to be a Sherlock Holmes on the hunt for the evidence that God's at work in people. Because He is. He says He is. He makes the sun to rise on the good and on the evil. He sends the rain on the just and on the unjust. Be therefore like Him, the Bible says. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Okay. And then it constructively uses time that could have been wasted complaining, which we're told to do all things without. Do all things without murmuring, disputing, complaining, fussing, griping. It's one of the things that God held against the children of Israel in the wilderness, and He kept them out there for 40 more years till the whole generation died off. He doesn't like complaining. And we are a race of complainers. We're irate. We're angered. You've seen the bumper stickers. If you're not angry, you're not paying attention. Have you seen those? I just want to say, if you're angry, you're not paying attention. There's only one being in existence who has the right to be angry. The rest of us are getting less than we deserve. So if you want to be a good practitioner of affirmation, you kind of have to turn things upside down and start looking for what can be commended. Because we have an instinct to complain, do we not? You know, we're more likely to complain about the rain than to bless God for the way the aquifers are getting refilled and the reservoirs and the orchards are getting the soil moisturized and whatever is happening in all that rain that we tend to complain about. I checked my phone and it's 2 degrees below zero in Minneapolis right now. And I'm sure people there are making comments about it that tend toward the negative side. Well, practicing affirmation helps us use our time differently to the honor of God, who is at work everywhere all the time without exception. There's not one subatomic particle which is not being held in its orbit by God. Even Adolf Hitler, I mentioned Adolf earlier, even Adolf Hitler did not murder his mother. Why didn't he murder his mother? God. God kept him from being worse than he already was. And we don't need to praise Adolf for that, but we need to praise God for what He's doing everywhere, all the time, even with these little rugrats and stinkers that we're raising that are energy taking. Geese fly in formation and honk. Some have theorized, some naturalists have theorized that they're cheering each other on and giving instructions and so forth. Skunks travel alone. Charles Dudley Warner said, "It's one of the beautiful compensations of this life that no one can sincerely try to help another without helping himself." So when you're commending others for their sake, you really want things to go better for them. You really want their sights to be elevated. You really want more excellence for them, for their sake, for their enjoyment. You're becoming a better person in that endeavor, in that enterprise. And don't you want that as a bonus? I do. Now, many of you have read about, studied, and talked about languages of love, yes? Here are some of them up here, and you know what your language is. How many of you would say gifts, giving is your language, you like to give stuff? Okay? You need my address? Affectionate touch, how many of you are touchers? As I get older, I think there's more of that in, would you say, Vicki, there's more of that in me than I was aware of younger? Time. You think if you love someone, you just hang out together, right? You wish this seminar would go a little longer, and the others are thinking, get a different gift. And acts of service. I think that's my wife. She just does stuff. Just, you have company over, and before you know it, the table's been cleared. And just, she just moves towards, she loves to run errands for people. Anybody here need an errand? She'd love to run an errand. That's how she shows love. Okay, well, you know what language I've left out here? This one. And I raise it here because might not be your language, but there are people in your world, and that is their language. And you really make hay with them if you'll use their language. You really gain credibility with them. You really sweeten their life if you'll use their language. It's the same basis on which when we send our missionaries to various parts of the world, one of the things they spend the first few years doing is learning the language. That's an act of love. It doesn't say, now we have good news for you, but in order for you to get it, you got to learn our tongue. Not that. No. Because we love you and we want you to have this good news, and we want to be able to give it to you, we're going to learn your language. Well, so it is with affirmation, is learn their language. Now, there's all these other things, but I'm nestling on this last one as an added bonus or benefit of practicing it. Because there are people in your world, and that's the way they are, and you really make their day if you'll speak their language. Earlier, we gave you an advance alert. So now, who has a testimony of how the practice of affirmation has made a difference?